All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs 28. I'd like to look at two verses, 4 and 5. Proverbs 28, 4 and 5. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, when the writer to the book of Proverbs, Solomon, says they that forsake the law, that is those that depart from it, loose it, neglect it, abandon it, apostatize, let it go. That is the attitude and the desire of every man, woman born in Adam. That's what it is, to neglect the law. There's no desire for obedience to God. And the reason that all born in Adam neglect God's law, the reason that there's a desire to abandon it, not to have anything to do with it, is because man doesn't believe God. Now, he doesn't believe that there's a penalty for the neglect of God's law, God's instruction. Now listen, Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. Now here's what we know. Everybody belongs to God. Everybody belongs to God. He made us. He made us. Somebody said, well, this is my body. No, it's not. No. That's God's body. I have a right to do what I will with my own. No, you don't. Don't. All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And listen to this. The soul that sinneth. What does that mean? The soul that does nothing but sin. Well, I mean, I don't sin all the time. Well, yes, you do. We all in ourselves come short of the glory of God. We all do that. A sinner is one that can do nothing but sin. The problem is we don't understand the concept or the truth of sin. It's to come short. It's to miss the mark. I never of myself ever thought a pure thought. I never have. I can sit here and be looking at you right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I can sit here and I am not. I can think some of those vile things and just sitting here, you say, well, you're up here preaching. I know that. And do nothing but sin because I've never thought in myself a holy, pure thought, one that measures up to the holiness of God. I've never done that. A man is born neglecting, forsaking the law because he doesn't believe the extent of his guilt. James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. We've all done nothing but sin against God. So when it comes to the law, a believer knows that he can't keep it for righteousness. He knows that. But here's the thing. Every believer loves the law of God. They love it. They love it. They love God's law. And this new man, turn with me. I'm going to make a statement. Turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 97. I'm telling you that every new man, every believer, he has this desire. I don't want to neglect the law of God. I don't want to. I don't want to be loosed from it. You'll understand why where I'm going in just a second. He loves the law of God. Now listen to what Psalm 119:97 says. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The psalmist is saying, now these you know that these words ultimately are the words of Christ. You know that. All of the psalms, they're messianic psalms, all of them. But here's what the Spirit of God moved on the psalmist to say. Oh, how love I thy law. Now, when he says law here, I know we think of the Mosaic law only. But now, when you're looking at the word law, actually what it means direction, instruction, precept, statute. That law of God, that instruction. Here's, you want to see the law? Here's. Ultimately, here's the law, here's the instruction, here's the precept, here's the statutes. And the psalmist said, I love your law. I love that which you instruct me with. I love that it's just, it's holy, it's good. And notice whose law this is. Oh, how love I thy law. God Almighty is the author of his law, of his instruction, that infallible truth of his holy character. When God speaks, he's speaking of himself, from himself. So the psalmist is saying, I love your instruction. He was talking a minute ago about the Ecclesiastes and how we're being taught of the fleetingness of all of this stuff around here. I need to hear that. I need to be reminded. We get all hyped up and all out of sorts. You know, nothing. It ain't going to matter. I love your law. A believer loves God's instruction because he realizes from God's law, from God's word, from God's precepts, he realizes his need. I need to hear that. I need to hear God's instruction. Romans 7:7, Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I wouldn't know that. How would I know that every thought of the imagination of man is only evil continually? How would I know that without this law, without this instruction? How would I know that by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourself? It's the gift of God. How would I know that without this? How would I know anything about God's mercy to choose a people and put them in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before in love? How would I know that? How would I know that God the Father made Christ sin that he might bear the guilt of his people and put that guilt away? How would I know that without his law? How would I know that? He said, I love your law. I love your instruction. I love it. God's people know that this instruction, this law right here, is the schoolmaster. That's what Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The law took us and brought us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. I love your law. I love your word. So the love of the law is owing only to the grace of God, that the Lord would give us a heart to understand His and His words, His law is not grievous to us, His people, but rather they're valued and they're esteemed. I want to come. I don't want to miss. I was in Kingsport the other day. Somebody told me something that, speaking of this law, this word, hearing the word. Brother Henry Mahan was visiting with an elderly woman. She was close to 100 years old, and probably one of the most faithful men, women, that Henry said he had ever heard of. And she was always, she was so diligent. She was frail. But she was there. She was always there. And she was weak. And Henry made this statement. She said, I enjoy being here. And Henry said, if you're hindered, and not able to make it or something like that. And she said, oh, but Brother Henry. She said, I'm responsible for not only what I do here when I'm here, but what I could have heard. Henry said, I learned something there. Oh, I'm not only responsible for what I hear, but what I could have heard. Psalmist says, I love your word. I love your law. But how can knowing that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, how can one behold the wonder, the purity, the holiness of God's law and see the demands that law sets forth, knowing the penalty of not obeying that law, and say that he loves it and he meditates in all that the law all the day? How can he say that? Well, it's only when God's law has been fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its demands for righteousness have been finished by the blood of Christ, and then to find from this word that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That the law of God, which was the word of God, the statutes of God, the truth set forth of God's law, once being against us because of our sin, now it's been honored for God's people. And this is how God been pleased to set forth this truth through the preaching of the gospel and to tell people, this is what God's called me to do. You get in this and you comfort my people. You tell them what I say. You get into this word and you set forth. Now listen, right now, because of the frailty of our flesh, no condemnation is truly sweet. Oh, but one day, in that day, when we stand before God, and listen, think of the marvel of God's grace. Pat, where are you? Wherever you are, we were reading that psalm right there. Everything that God has done in this world, His mercy endureth forever. Now listen, think of the mercy of God. We're here right now hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those without Christ, you're not in hell. You're not in hell. Some have left this world, and they leave this world without Christ. Somebody can stand over them and say, well, they're in a better place now. Not if they were not in Christ. They're not. No. But he said, no condemnation. Knowing that in Adam we all die, but according to the grace and mercy of God, that Almighty God would have mercy on a people of His choosing. That send that law to silence men's arrogant thoughts or ignorant thoughts of everything's going to work out okay. This Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Do you know the greatest evidence of someone that God's done something for? Let me tell you where it first starts. I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God. With that thought, that's a word of hope. When somebody says, I am guilty before God and need Him. I need Him. We're all guilty. But the problem is, man by nature doesn't believe he's guilty. He doesn't see his needs. So the law was never given to justify a sinner. We're not justified by keeping this law. We can't keep it. What's the purpose of the law? To show us what we are. Here's God's demand. You read these scriptures right here. This is the expression, the demand of God Almighty for obedience before Him. So I can't do that. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I'm so glad to hear you. You know, boy, I'm telling you, whenever you start seeing somebody, God brings them down, and the pride is raised. Old Brother Scott said, somebody said, boy, that'll get rid of the pride. He said, well, not all of it. No, it's there. It's there. But oh, that blessed thought of hearing someone say, I'm guilty. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Sinners. If somebody doesn't see themselves as a sinner, I'm saying, well, I don't have anything for you. I have nothing for you. If you are not a hell-deserving sinner against God, I'm telling you, that's what we are. But if God teaches us. Psalm 119. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The testimony of God's word. When he says, it's my meditation all the day. His law is the musing delight of God's sheep as they feel something of their guilt and their inadequacy and their inward pain, that war that strives within them. And by the Spirit's direction, they're continually driven back to Christ. That they're driven back to Him who is their federal head. Who is their representative before God, their great high priest. And the wonder of this, I told you a while ago, now these are ultimately the words of Christ, but they're the words of His people in their desire, in their love for Him and for His word, His law. This is their desire. They all admit they fall short. They all admit that. They all know what they are. They all see something of the frailty. But when it says, it is my meditation all the day, that's His meditation. That's His. And we stand in Him. We stand in the Lord. Let me just read these verses 98 to 104. Listen to this. And think of this. These are the words of Christ. They're the desire of God's people. But being found in Him, these are our words too. Being found in Him, found in Christ, these are our words. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I've not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And this is why being found in Him, and He is the one that says these words, Let me tell you why that's so sweet, that Christ says these words, and those words are ours in him. I've read this so many times, but listen to it again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, when he said those words, that's his words as the God-man mediator on behalf of his people. By the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Can you imagine? I can't. I know you can't either, but you want to. How precious those words are being applied to us in him. Those words of him, his words, to us. So here we are. We're hearing the sweet psalmist say the love that he has. His word, his law is my meditation all the day long. And just turn back to Proverbs 28 for just a second. I'll wrap this up. They that forsake the law, that shun the law, that abandon the law, that neglect the law, they praise the wicked. They praise the wicked. They see the law as being unneedful. I have no reason for it. But whenever they praise the law, they praise the wicked. What they're doing is they're admitting that's what I am. I'm with them. When they neglect God's law, God's people, you love it. Romans 1. 28 to 32, listen to this. Romans 1, 28, 32. The scripture says, even as they, that is every man, every woman born in Adam, did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind void of judgment, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Like is attracted to like. They that forsake the law, neglect it, they praise the wicked. Oh, but such as keep the law, contend with them. They're at strife with those that despise God's law in this sense. Their love for God's word is a reproof to the wicked. That's the striving. Their love for God's word reproves them and tells them, you're not listening to what God's saying. You're not listening to the warning of God. There's strife and contention about who God is and who man is. There's a strife. Is he God or is man God? That, you know, the wicked declare that God is their servant, liable to their free will, and can only save them if they choose to be saved. And those that love and hedge and guard and attend God's law, they love it. They love it. They contend with the wicked. And they say unto the wicked, this is our God. Our God's in the heavens. And he's done whatsoever he pleases. I'm going to just read this fifth verse as a confirmation to what we just said. Evil men understand not judgment. They don't understand God's justice. They don't understand it. They don't realize that God is a just God. Well, I thought you said he's a God of love. He is a God of love. God is just. And he will in no wise clear the guilty. Either your guilt, your sin, has been borne and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or God's going to look to you. The evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. All things? Yeah. Let me sum up all things for you right now. I'm going to sum up all things for you right now. I'm a sinner. I need him. And without him, I'm hopelessly lost. Now, when it comes right down to the last breath, right here, here it is. I need him. The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. Lord, have mercy on this sinner. For Christ's sake, I pray.